Hello and welcome back to the Church of Jesus Christ study session with Come and Follow Me. I'm your host Matthew Roberts and this is Season 5, Episode 69 of this daily study podcast. Thank you so much for joining us once again today as we begin a new week of study in this week's Come and Follow Me materials, covering March the 20th to March the 26th in Matthew chapter 13, Luke chapter 8 and Luke chapter 13. And today we are going to be covering the section talking about a couple of parables. Well, actually, this whole week really is focused on a number of parables. Today we're going to be looking at a section on the parable of the sower, particularly in Matthew chapter 13, 3 to 23, and Luke chapter 8, verses 4 to 15. We'll have a look in the Matthew chapter, just because it is the more detailed account of the parable, with the explanation given by the Saviour later on as well, by him. But we'll also consider how other comparisons may be made, or representations or explanations may be given from the study of this parable. Parables are important when we are studying the life and teachings of Jesus. Just to share the quote at the start of the Come and Follow Me chapter, it says, quote, "Some of the Saviour's most memorable teachings were in the form of simple stories called parables. These are more than just interesting anecdotes about ordinary objects or events. They contain profound truths about the kingdom of God for those who are spiritually prepared," close quote. So these stories were given so that those who were seeking the word, those who were seeking to be edified by the word, by the Saviour's teachings, could be able to receive those teachings without then those teachings being heard by others and requiring them to act on them when they were not ready. The people who were ready to act on these parables were able to understand and apply them. And this applies to us as well, that we have to be connected to the Spirit. We need to be seeking to be edified by the Saviour and have him completely in our lives so that we can then truly start to understand wider ways in which these parables apply into our lives. So let's dive into Matthew chapter 13 together and just consider this parable of the sower, because it's a great parable with which to begin, because it's completely focused on being prepared to receive the word. I'm going to paraphrase it in overall, but I'll read some specific verses. But we know that there is a sower in this parable that is throwing seed onto the ground. Now, notice here that the sower remains the same. There is not a different sower. The seeds are not different. It is always the same sower with the same seeds throwing this seed onto the ground. The difference comes with the differences in the ground. And this is where our hearts can be different. So the first one that is mentioned in Matthew is in verse 4. It says, "And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up." So even before that, they were able to be given time to have root. In verse 19, the Saviour teaches, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in the heart. This is he which receiveth seed by the wayside." So before this seed can have a chance to take root, the Saviour teaches that the wicked one, the adversary, snatches this away from some people. And this can be applied to, like he mentions, people who are just not ready at all in any way to have any sort of root in the gospel. I want to say the gospel, it refers to things like faith, repentance, being baptized, studying scriptures, being able to connect spiritually to the Saviour, anything that relates to building a spiritual relationship to him. Now, this is likened also in the Line Upon Line Come Follow Me videos, as one possible lens in which we can see this parable is by looking at the kingdom's glory. And I'd never really considered this before, or if I had, I'd forgotten about it. So the stony ground can be applied to the outer darkness, which of course applies to few people, but people where, you know, there is just no no hints or no prospects of that of those good seeds being able to take root in that in their heart, that Satan has complete power, and they actively resist and repel the word and fight against it. Perhaps having received it in the past before as well. So that would apply to these people. Then we have in verse 5 the stony places. So not necessarily where, you know, there is no soil at all, but where is a lot of stone. In verse 5 it says, some fell among upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no roots, they withered away. So these individuals, these places, receive the seed in the stony ground. And in verse 20, the Saviour expounds on this further and says, but he that receiveth the seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it, yet hath he no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended. Looking back at the example of the come follow me, the line upon line suggestion of comparing this to the kingdoms of glory, this could be related to the celestial kingdom, where people receive it, they listen, they may consider it for a while, but then because there is no roots, because there is no true application or true reception to that word, it's not able to develop roots. And so very quickly it burns up and it is not able to continue growing any longer. We then move on to the thorns. So in verse 7 it says, and some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. That's all we're given on this section of people here in terms of the parable. But if we go to the verse 22, it says, he also that receiveth seed among the thorns is he that heareth the word, and the care of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becometh unfruitful. So notice here that it doesn't suggest that the seed doesn't grow, and it doesn't suggest that there is no roots that springs into the ground and that some growth does not take place. But the world in which we live in draws these individuals away, that they perhaps grow to some level, but they don't become fruitful. They don't become full of bounty in the gospel, and that they are not able to produce what is intended by the sower, by the gardener, the master gardener, despite the growth happening. So this suggests there is further growth than if they were thrown into a stony ground. But the care of the riches and the deceitfulness of the world has distracted them from their true purpose, and they become grown, developed in some way, but not as fruitful. This, of course, can apply to the terrestrial kingdom and those that perhaps have a testimony or perhaps develop in some way, but they lose their way in the world in which we live in immortality. And this is a loss of fruits that they're able to have. We're going to stop there because we're already up, nearly up to the 10 minutes. We'll consider the last part of ground, of course, and also another parable tomorrow, which relates in a similar way about becoming fruitful and listening to the gospel and receiving it into our hearts and our hearts being prepared. This is, of course, what these two parables are really all about. But there's, of course, many other possible layers and interpretations and applications of these two. So thank you so much for listening to us today. We'll continue with this parable tomorrow. Lots more to get through this week, and I look forward to sharing them with you. Until we meet again.